Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of the AccuWeather podcast, Everything Under the Sun. I'm your host, meteorologist Regina Miller, joined in the studio by Andy Robb, my producer, and Ken Pro, our director of audio services. And this week, it's Groundhog Day. We get to find out whether or not we have six more weeks of winter or if spring is right around the corner.
It better be an early spring.
I hope so. But we are going to be talking to John Griffiths. He is a handler of Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah, part of the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club, established in 1887, a member of their inner circle.
Their inner circle, and he's been going to it since he was a little boy, and it was a much different occasion back then. So we are going to be talking to him about what it's like to be a handler, what it's like in Punxsutawney as the day approaches, and we also are going to talk to our own long-range meteorologist, Paul Pastelak and Max Vito, because now that we're at the halfway point of winter, we want to get their opinion. They don't use lights and they don't have cameras around. Nothing like that.
Oh, but I thought we were going to try to get Paul to see a shadow.
We were going
to
see if Paul could see a shadow and whether or not we're going. But we are talking to them. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Punxsutawney Phil!
Some of the sounds of last year's festivities on Groundhog Day in Punxsutawney, and I'm joined now on the phone by John Griffiths, Punxsutawney Phil's handler. Hi, John.
Hello, how are you today?
I am doing well. So I wanted to ask you, how did this whole idea get started? The idea of a groundhog seeing its shadow to signify winter lasting or spring coming, where did that start?
Well, it's actually a German, European, we always attribute it mostly to the German tradition. And they would use a hedgehog over there to see whether it was going to be an early spring or the winter would last 6 weeks longer. When it was brought to the United States, obviously we didn't have hedgehogs here, so they had to choose another hibernating animal, and I'm just thankful they didn't choose a black bear, because that would be a little tough for me to handle. But
they could have in Pennsylvania.
They could have, yep.
How many years has this been going on? Kind of, what's the history of when the event got started?
I mean, there's records of farmers going out and, you know, making reference to groundhogs coming out, but the first actual organized event was about 1886. So this will be our 133rd year.
You said that farmers would go out and just kind of see. Do you have any idea why it was, if he saw his shadow was the thing that meant six more weeks of winter? Because I would think
I'm not sure, but if you think about it, like a day like today, very cool day, but the sun's shining out there. So usually when you have the coldest days of the year, it's because there's no cloud cover over here. The sun shines through, but the air is not warm enough to heat things up. So that's our theory on it.
Tell me about preparing for the event. What is it like in the days prior there in Punxsutawney?
Especially this year, because it falls on a weekend, it is very hectic. And we do a lot of appearances just to build the energy up for Groundhog Day. So for us, our executive director, Katie Donald, who we'd be lost without, fields phone calls, and anything that we're able to do, we do. Let's see, we were just down in Pittsburgh over the weekend for the launch of we have a tie-in with a distillery down there that makes Phil's Shadow Whiskey.
Oh, that's cool.
Wiggle Whiskey in Pittsburgh, and every day is scheduled. We make appearances at our local schools, at some of the nursing facilities around here. Every hour is full.
Do you know what the farthest is that you've traveled for, like, any kind of publicity events?
Because Phil's a wild animal, taking him across state lines, we have to get special permits from every state that we cross through. So
It's
kind of a pain, but we've been to Indianapolis a few years ago. We did the Sweet 16 with Dick Vitale. Phil picked against him. And we've been to New York City. We did the coin toss for the Puppy Bowl.
Oh, that's adorable.
Years back, Phil visited with President Reagan. He's been on the Oprah Winfrey Show, so he's pretty well traveled.
Let's listen to part of that episode with Oprah.
When they initially were doing Groundhog Day.
Let me just ask you this. Is Phil drugged, or does he always look like that?
No, Phil is not drugged. Phil loves the cameras, okay?
Oh, yes, okay.
Okay, he thinks he's performing.
Okay.
But no, back, wait.
That's great. Now, do you guys get to travel like that often?
Most of what we do is around here because we're all volunteers. Most of us have day jobs, but there are 15 of us, so usually we can get enough guys together to be able to go to some of these different events.
Right, somebody can go to it. Describe to me what Punxsutawney is like on the day of, because your population explodes, right?
Yeah, we go from a town of, either slightly under or slightly over, depending on who you ask, 6,000 people to potentially 40,000 people. Now, what's bad for Punxsy, but good for the surrounding area. We have only a handful of places, not even a handful of places for people to stay. So if you're planning on coming to Punxsy on Groundhog Day and finding a hotel room or something like that, forget it unless you book it a year or two in advance.
How does Phil prepare? Because, I mean, he looks fantastic. So I picture him like, like Rocky, maybe before the big fight, chugging eggs, raw eggs. Like, what does Phil do to look and stay in such great shape?
Boy, I don't know which you're looking at. If you held him for about 10 minutes, you would know he's not
in good shape.
He's fat and he's heavy. So no, he does what he does best this time of year. What most groundhogs do is just rest, sleep, and now, he and his wife, Phyllis, who live in our local zoo off of our library in our civic center, don't go into full hibernation because we kind of, first of all, it's climate controlled, which isn't really the big factor. The big factor is the length of the days. When the days start shortening, the groundhog in the wild will know it's time to prepare for hibernation. But we have a light that kind of, I always use the word trick, but that has a bad connotation to it, but it makes them think that the days are a little bit longer, so they don't go into full hibernation, but he slows down quite a bit. They'll go from eating ravenously in the summer, you can't even get the dish set down before they're eating, and to maybe every couple days you'll have to fill the food dish.
Oh, okay. Well, he sounds a little bit like me in the wintertime.
Yeah.
That's how I
mean, if I could get away with it, it's a great life. If I could get away with it, that's what I'd be doing.
If I didn't have to show up to work, that would be great. So, well, he looks young. How about we put it that way? He looks very young. So how
well,
does
he
stay?
That's attributed to the elixir of life. So.
Oh, tell me about the elixir of life.
Well, every September, we have our annual picnic. And at that picnic, Phil is given the elixir of life, which for each sip he takes, it extends his life another 7 years. So he had 4 last year, so he added on 28 years just last year.
Oh, okay.
So it does not work on humans, though, I can tell you that.
Doesn't it?
And I can't give out the recipe. I'll give you one. There's a block of ice from Antarctica involved, but by the time it gets to us, it's an ice cube. So.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah, sure.
There's a block of ice from Antarctica that is sent for Phil to drink in his elixir. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. One of the ingredients, but that's all I can give out.
Okay. Well, how old is Phil?
Well, he's at least 133, and we don't know for sure. I assume he was a year or two old before he came to the original members of the club. Obviously was alive when we had the first Groundhog Day, so he's at least that. Now, Phyllis, on the other hand, does not receive. There have been many Phyllises. She does not receive the elixir of life, so she will eventually pass, and we'll find a new. And I tell him
you
it's
have to
just
find
like,
a groundhog named Phyllis.
Right, that's it exactly.
That's the only prerequisite.
Yep.
So tell me about being a handler in the inner circle. Is it kind of like royalty? I mean, does it get passed down?
Oh, I'm telling you, it's glamorous.
It's obviously formal. You've got the top hats, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, we all dress alike, so that's part of it. Basically, to become a handler, everybody in the club has an IQ of about 60. So if
so
you're
there's
lower
a baseline.
Than, whoever has the lowest IQ gets to be handler, is basically how it happens. No, I love telling the story. I was actually tricked into it. We were at a meeting years back. I've been doing this handling since about 2006. we were at a meeting, and our president at the time asked if somebody would help the handler at the time, and it was right before a meeting, and you could have heard a pin drop. Well, I sat there the whole meeting, and bleeding heart that I am, I felt guilty. So I went up afterwards, and I said, if there's anything I can do to help, let me know, and I'll help. Well, I was anointed right there as a handler. Thankfully, at that point, that was when we went from one handler to two handlers.
Because Phil keeps getting heavier.
That's one of the reasons. No, the biggest reason was when the movie hit, it exploded Groundhog Day for us. And the requests for appearances and the different things that we ended up taking on required more than one person to do it. So I did get a little reprieve there, but it's still pretty arduous for the other handler and I right now.
So what are your duties? I know you said you do some appearances.
Speaking of duties, I get to clean his up. That's one of the things. Now, basically, 365 days a year, we're charged with his care, he and Phyllis. We also have a couple other groundhogs that, you know, we've become the home for wayward groundhogs over the years.
Now, tell me about, you said about the movie, it exploded after the movie. So give me an example of, like, numbers of people that would show up before the movie and then after it came out.
Well, if you had 500, 600 people here, it had been growing over the years. But still, if you had 500 people at Gobbler's Knob, 600 maybe, we considered that a big crowd. I remember the days when I was about 9 years old and walked up through the woods from my house. There were 30 people there, and it was about a 15-minute thing where they went in, he did his prognostication, and everybody went back down to have a cup of coffee and then went to their jobs. I walked back down through the woods to my house. Once the movie hit, it took it into a whole new realm for us.
So what's your most famous visitor?
I mean, we've had Bill Murray there. A lot of people from the movie, Danny Rubin, who wrote it, Stephen Tobolowsky has been here. Unless it's a special guest that comes to speak at our banquet, we usually try to keep the knob pure up there as much as we can.
What is the worst weather that you remember ever having while you were up there? Because it can get really cold,
We had a -8 one year. That was brutal. We've had everything you could imagine. And actually, one of the other most miserable times, it was probably 33 degrees, but it rained constantly. Because that just soaks you to the bone. And then
you can't get warm.
If it's bitterly cold, you can't stand to be outside in it. Well, I don't know how some people do it.
Yeah, because they'll be out there for hours waiting.
Yeah.
And so,
of course, they're packed in like sardines, so maybe they're getting body heat from each other. I don't know.
Oh, that's true. So that's how it's different from the old days, at least. You've got all these people packed together. And do you guys
right.
have any special, like, do you have any special places to warm up? Like, do they heat anything up there by the stage?
Yeah, we have a warming tent. Our building is open. There are opportunities, but you would be amazed. I'll walk up to somebody and they'll be shivering and I'll say, aren't you cold? There's a warming tent up there if you'd like to go. I don't want to lose my spot. So, you know, okay, stand there and freeze then.
They're serious about it. Now, do you all understand groundhoggies?
No, that's just reserved for the president, and he can't even unless he has his acacia wood cane, which has been passed down for generations also.
Tell me about the cane, because I've never heard of that.
It's made of acacia wood. It's been passed down from president to president to president. Gives each president the ability, whoever holds it will be able to. Now, he can't talk to Phil, obviously, but he can interpret eye movements, clicks, whistles, any noises that Phil makes.
Oh, okay. So now here's the other thing. Is the president elected or is the president like a monarchy that it's passed down?
Well, it's like anything else. You're put into the position, then you can never escape. unless you die. One of the die or just leave the country. One of the two.
It's more you can't escape. That's great. So I have a question. Do you have an inside track for us? Do you know anything about what Phil's prediction might be? Or is there something that maybe no one else knows that you're telling us here on the AccuWeather podcast?
We get asked this all the time. We prepare two scrolls, and it depends on what he tells Bill when he comes out of the stump up there. Nobody in the club knows at the time. until he comes out. And that's the truth.
That's
I have never known what he's going to call for. Now, his track record is mostly six more weeks of winter, but you never know.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This has been a really fun conversation.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Okay, you have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
And be sure to check out our live coverage on the AccuWeather Network of Groundhog Day in Punxsutawney. It's on Verizon Fios Channel 619 and DirecTV Channel 361.
And for more information about Groundhog Day, the Inner Circle, and the Groundhog Club, check out the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club at groundhog.org.
Well, we go from one prognosticator, we go from Punxsutawney Phil, to Max Vito and Paul Pastelag, who are joining me in the studio, because I figure... Do you see your shadow? Does that indicate to you anything about whether or not there's going to be 6 more weeks?
I've got that 5 o'clock shadow going on all the time.
Don't have much of that.
Well, hey, I wanted to bring you guys in because I wanted to talk about the winter forecast, where we're at right now with it. And I'm hoping that you guys give me some indication that maybe spring is right around the corner.
I'm going to start off here because I think our September forecast for the winter season has been really on.
So one of the things we were keying on in September was the potential for an early winter, late December, early January polar vortex split. And that's something that happened. And once those happens, you can anticipate colder weather usually arriving a couple weeks down the line. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now across the central and eastern part of the country. And it's really locking in this week.
Right. And now how long can we expect this kind of cold pattern to stick around? Super cold. I mean, this week that we're recording this, oh my gosh, absolutely miserable with the polar vortex.
I don't know if it's a definite 100% guaranteed, but this probably will be the coldest air mass that we see this winter season coming down. I mean, talking about temperatures that are going to be 40 to 45 degrees below normal on a couple of days, that's pretty impressive in Wisconsin, Illinois. But the thing is that...
And that's temperatures. That's not wind chills.
No. That's the temperature departures from normal, just to give you an indication. Because it typically is cold in Wisconsin
this
time of year.
Mm-hmm.
But just to give you an idea that it can be that much colder than norm is impressive. But the thing is that a lot of polar vortex splits that we're seeing happened.
Describe that polar vortex split, to explain that for me.
And also, if I could just jump in real quick, for those of us that don't know, what exactly is the polar vortex?
Well, let's start out with that. The polar vortex, it's always there. It intensifies during the cold season. You know, the sun angle lowers in the northern hemisphere. The air mass gets very, very cold underneath these upper-level lows that develop over the polar region. Now, when the polar vortex is very strong, the westerly winds that go counterclockwise around the upper-level low contain the cold, doesn't allow it to break off.
You know what it reminds me of? Is it kind of like an ice skater? And they always say for an ice skater to tighten up when they're doing a spin, tighten up their arms so that they can spin faster and more consolidated focus.
Exactly.
Is it like that?
Yes. It's like a top. When you spin, it's going around, just stays in that same area. But when it starts to wobble, you start to see...
Right.
Variation starts to change direction, starts to move, and it's the same thing. And the thing about it is that these vortexes can get disrupted. Now, it's not set in stone that this automatically happens when the polar vortex gets a disruption. It's very complicated. Other things are factored in, time of the year too as well when it happens. So you can get different results, like this one that we've had right now. But we see this intense warming that can take place at the upper levels of this, we're talking the stratospheric level, intense warming that will disrupt the polar vortex and allow that cold that's kind of bottled up to escape from the polar region.
Oh, interesting. So intense warming
in
the stratosphere.
Like a 40, 50 degree jump in temperatures in a short period of time can do it.
Now, is that kind of related to global warming or changes in the global temperature in general?
There's some research that's been involved that could help to enhance the results and impacts of polar vortex. Also, the water temperatures, you know, not only around the pole, but where this air comes from, it actually originates over the tropics, and it's polar bound to help with the disruption. So, you know, Indian Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, whatever, if the oceans are running warmer than normal because of climate change, that could have an effect as well, too.
So you have that convective cycle where then that's rising up over the upper levels, highest levels.
It's a transport.
Yeah, it's a transport.
Exactly. So
you get a trickle-down effect once these occur in, you know, as Paul said, the stratosphere, tens of thousands of feet above the surface. It trickles down a couple of weeks to the lower levels and leads to more high pressure, warmer air masses over the poles. And that weakened circulation pattern around the poles leads to a wavier pattern, more dips and rises in the jet stream. And when you're under one of those dips in the jet streams, you can get a direct discharge of Arctic air. And that's exactly, I mean, that's exactly what we're seeing this week in the eastern, central and eastern United States.
But they don't always go in the same direction. I mean, we've seen a split, and I've been calling in my blogs sister polar vortex because there's two sisters. One hit Europe with very heavy snow and stormy weather and cold weather, and the other one took its time, but it finally got down here, and there's a huge lag. I mean, this started like in around Christmas time, mm-hmm. the process, and mm-hmm. here we are seeing the impacts, you know, late in January. So it took a while for it to happen. And what's different about this, a lot of times when they split like that, it takes a long time for them to get back together, to get over the polar region, to get everything back to equilibrium again. This one seems to be coming in and getting out of here pretty quickly. So it's not a long-lived polar disruption that we're seeing right now for us.
So it is kind of like what I'm saying with that ice skater, where it, mm-hmm. like now yeah. it's going to tighten up. The arms are out. There's a couple yep. splits where it's broken off and the cold's coming down, but it's going to pull together, tighten up, and start to consolidate once again, you think?
I think it can, but I don't know if it'll be the same strength.
It'll come back to a little
weaker. I think it's
going to
remain in that weakened state,
okay.
likely yeah. through most of February and even to parts of March. I think we could have some lingering cold coming down every once in a while.
Right.
Pretty Arctic in nature, but likely not what we're seeing this week.
That's the vulnerability. If it stays weak, then it's easier for some of that cold to escape again. The problem is you get later into the season, you go through seasonal changes, so the cold is a different type of cold. It's not as intense.
Mm-hmm. It's modified.
It's modified by the mm-hmm. time it gets down, but it's still... could be impressive. We got to watch late February and early March. We still think it could be active.
So a little glimpse ahead, you think maybe the 6 more weeks of winter, it might be 6 plus more weeks of winter?
As long as I keep getting a 5 o'clock shadow, I think we're still going to see 6 weeks of winter. What do you think?
Shine a light on Paul here and see if he scares himself.
I mean, we get a break. And we yeah. are going to get a break. I mean, right, Max? We see a break coming.
Early February, a little bit of reprieve, a little more air from the south coming up. Eastern two-thirds of the country, it still looks like there's going to be cold in the pattern heading into late February and even the middle of March, and I think there's going to be some potential for some storms with that as well. It could be pretty active.
Yeah,
because we'll get that southerly yeah. flow, but then we end up with storms.
Well, right. We talked about this in another one. I think you get Arctic air, it can be very dry, so it kind of prohibits your mm-hmm. big-time storms trying to come up. I mean, you can get some snow and light stuff. If it relaxes the Arctic air, then you know, you still got some cold available. You can get some big storms out of that. So the opportunity is still there.
Okay.
And to answer your question about 6 more weeks of winter, because that's what I'm sure everyone's wondering about. Last year, this vortex split, this disruption occurred in the middle parts of February. And that's what led to that cold air being so relevant in March and April.
April, too.
There was temperatures that are 5 to 10 degrees below normal for the month in April last
year
across
right.
the upper Midwest. This year looks different because of the timing of the vortex disruption. It was in the beginning parts of January. We're thinking that the cold probably lingers to the middle part of March, so about 6 weeks from Groundhog Day. But after that, we could get some more warm-ups. More bouts of warmer weather.
Yeah.
Definitely a faster transition, I think, than last year.
Just great for the farmers.
Yes.
Because they had a tough time getting things going
right.
last year in April.
Really,
so.
Outdoor projects. I know the rain put off a lot of outdoor projects in the summer and fall this year. People could get on that a little earlier.
Still got the pool out, though, because May got hot. Remember, May got really
yeah,
hot.
Yeah, right.
Flipped. We had no spring last year.
No, we didn't.
No
and then
spring.
We went to tropical downpours. It was just
yeah.
the weirdest year.
It
so
was.
So I'm excited to see my neighbors again. Haven't seen them. I, you know, so at least maybe in 6-7 weeks I might see them outside. So who knows?
Come to think of it, it's been the same at my place, too.
I know. Nobody sees each
nobody
other.
Nobody comes out.
Like, I hope they're all okay.
Everybody can come out and join hands this spring because right. We're expecting it to turn around better.
Yay. I'm so excited. Well, thanks so much, guys. I appreciate you guys talking to me.
Anytime, Regina.
So now you have everything you need to know about winter weather, when it's going to end. We've pretty much answered all those questions in this podcast.
I'm kind of excited, though. It sounds like, winter's not going to last forever.
It does. It sounds, at least by talking to Max and Paul, that maybe it ends a little bit sooner, at least than last year's, which ran on forever. But we also want to remind you, if you're listening to this episode, for example, maybe on YouTube or on our website, that you want to make sure that you can get us on the go on your phone.
Yeah, you don't want to miss an episode.
Yeah, no one wants to do that, right? That would be tragic for most people. But anyway, what you can do is you can...
What Regina is trying to say here is subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, wherever you find your favorite podcast.
Yeah, your podcast player on your phone. So that was what I was trying to say before the wheels fell off. So thank you for joining us. We'll see you here next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Be sure to subscribe to AccuWeather's Everything Under the Sun, giving you the stories behind the weather and so much more. New episodes every Thursday. Just search for AccuWeather on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or visit AccuWeather.com/podcast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.